Let's open God's word, because that's what we're here really for to do. So Matthew, we'll start Matthew first. Matthew chapter 12. We're going to jump into a story in just a moment. I don't know what you've done so far for your mom today, whether you kind of threw a card in the mail early this week. You thought, I better get it in the mail so she gets it in time. Or if you're those kind of like online people where you like e-card them, or maybe an email, or you're going to do a Zoom call with them. So for our family this morning around the breakfast table, each of us, you know, either purchased or made a card and presented it to Omley. And so within that card, though, typically you read like things that are positive, right? You wouldn't write to your mom or your wife and be like, you know, something negative. Like, you would never do that. That would be like, you're on the couch, you're out of the house. So you just don't do those kind of things, right? So as we read God's word, I think it's in a similar context that God writes to you personally. He loves you so much, and he wants to say good things about you. And aren't you kind of moved, you know, all year, sometimes we don't say too much, especially as men, we're a little bit slow sometimes with that kind of stuff about like how beautiful you are, how much we love you. Like, I said that once, we should be good, right? You know, so we write in a nice card, and then they usually put it up somewhere because they're like, okay, I got to remember what they said there because that was really important. And God's the same way with us. Sometimes we feel like, oh, I feel like I haven't heard from God recently. I feel like I'm not connecting with God. But when we see his characteristics, we see he loves me so much. You wouldn't read anything negative in the card that you would receive from the Lord, right? Like, where have you been? How come you haven't been reading? How come you haven't been praying? How come you haven't been going to church? You wouldn't read those kind of things. God wouldn't say that. He would say, man, I'm so excited to be in relationship with you right now. I'm so glad we have these moments together. So in the Word of God, there's this beautiful story in Matthew chapter 12, verse 46. So I want to see it through Jesus' eyes. What does he think about his mother? It starts in verse 46. So while Jesus was still talking to the crowd, and his mother and his brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. It's a packed house. Similar churches like that is just so full. We got to meet on, you know, people are standing outside trying to see in. And so his mother and brothers show up to the scene. As someone told his mother and his brothers, hey, your mother and your brother, they're standing outside and they want to speak to you. And Jesus says this in verse 48. He says, he replied to him. It's funny when you read this. Who's my mother and who are my brothers? Pointed to his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother. When you think about that, you're thinking, man, like it's his mother, man, went through all that diapers and all that business. And he was just like, you know, leave her outside because this is my mother and my brother and my sisters. Why does he say that? And I think sometimes we lose focus of this as the body of Christ, the family of God, is that he is saying this not to dish his mother and his brother. And say, he loves them. And I'm going to read to you how much he loves them in just a moment. But in that moment, Jesus wants to teach people something. He wants to teach them about the family of God, the value of the family of God. And I know this so well because I've had some difficulties in my own biological family over the years. So when I come into the family of God, the house of God, I am so grateful that I'm adopted into that. And so when you and I see each other, I go, that's my brother. And that's my mother. We should treat them the same way that we wanted to treat our biological family. No difference, no ethnicity, no culture. It's just like, that's my mother right there. How would I treat my mother? How do we treat each other? Oh, in Jesus' name, we got to get that right as a church. If there's any other organization, that group that gets together, we should be hitting a home run with that thing. That we just care and we're compassionate, like we're going to read about, for each other. Don't judge each other. Don't call each other down. We want the best for each other, like you would want the best for your mother. Your mother is the one that brought you screaming into this world. If you think about this with your mother, now, I crushed my finger at the work bee the other day. I had a big blood blister and had to poke it, and it was like, oh, that didn't feel so good. There's no tears. I'm not that weak. I've got one of those, like, under the ground pimples, you know, like, oh. Oh, you know those ones? You just, oh my gosh. And so I don't cry over that. But But I tell you, when I was a teenager, growing up in Prince Rupert, we were climbing a cliff. We're on a hike, and there's this big rock face. And so we're climbing. It's not very high. I'm climbing it. My buddy above me goes, "Watch out!" Because his foot slips and knocks off a rock. And I'm like holding onto this cliff. I look up, bong! And like I've still got the scar tissue right here. I'm holding on the cliff, and I just feel warm. You know how your head bleeds? It just is insane. It's just bloody mess. So I can't deal with it. I'm like, I'm not going to jump. So I'm like thinking, okay, don't let go at least. And so blood's just pouring out all over me. And so I'm thinking, do I go up or do I go down? So anyways, I don't even remember which way I went. I was so out of it. I finally came to my senses. My friend's like, "I am so sorry." And I'm looking at him like, "I don't care about you right now. I am hurting. I got to get out of here." And so I don't know if I was running home or whatever. I finally got home. My sister is the first one to see me. She's like, "Oh my," and she just is like freaking out, right? Because there's blood all over me. "What's going on?" And I'm like, "I don't care about you." And I turn and I see my mother. And all of a sudden the tears just start flowing like more than the blood. There's something about mom, isn't there? That we feel like we can be like just vulnerable and open and safe, right? We don't worry about, blubbering mess, right? You don't do that in front of people. Don't do that. But to your mother behind a closed door, "Oh, you're a blubbering mess, hey, boys? I'm the only one up here. Don't leave me hanging, man." So when we approach God, don't hold anything back. Don't put on a face or a front for God. Be so broken and vulnerable with him and say, "God, this is what's going on. This is how I feel." And God, with all compassion and care, will come and just minister to you. Because that's the kind of God that we serve. And that's the kind of characteristics that often females, mothers will get. These are godly characteristics. And this is how we should interact with him. So I know I kind of like open with a challenging thought about mothers and how Jesus treated them. But also, we're going to pick it up here in John. So let's flip over to the Gospel of John here just for a second. And we'll see how much Jesus really cares about his mother. In his last moments here, he's hanging on the cross. He looks down and he sees this scene. It says here in verse 25, John 19, says, "Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, 'Dear woman, here's your son.' And to the disciple, 'Here's your mother.' From that time on, the disciple took her into his house." It was really the last act of Jesus Christ to look upon his mother and go, "I'm going to make sure you're taken care of because I care so much for you." And the guy's in agony. He's hanging on the cross, bleeding to death, all these things happening to him. All the sins of the world are upon him. And he just looks at his mom and he says, he has compassion on her. He says, "I want to make sure that she's taken care of." Isn't that just like our God? You know, in the midst of everything that we put on him to put him on the cross, he looks at us and he has such compassion for us. "I will take care of you. You're still on my mind. Even though you sinned, we've sinned, I've sinned, and put him up there for all those reasons. We think, I'm such a, why did I mess up? And that's why Jesus is on the cross." And then he looks at you, and what does he think? Just like the cards that we would write our mothers. He thinks, he cares for you so much. He has compassion for you. He wants to nurture and love upon you. Nothing negative. That's our thinking. Don't let our thinking intercede, impact God's thinking. Don't put words in God's mouth. Jesus cared for his mother, and he gives all women certain characteristics and qualities. And so I want to look at a few of those this morning. So I've got three different ones, maybe like intuition and compassion and nurture. I just want to look at a few of those just that mothers seem to have, that just seem to be born into them. It seems like they have eyes in the back of their head, don't they? I remember as a kid, I was in like a different room on a different level of the house, and she's like, "Robert, what are you doing?" And I'm thinking, "Oh man, I was just handing the cookie jar or something, right?" You know, because she's in the bathroom. And then you're like, "You put that back." I'm, "What? How do you even know?" Like, they didn't have cameras back then, okay? They didn't have like all the security stuff back then, but my mom somehow knew. Or sometimes, you know, you'd be sitting there and you're thinking about something. You're like, "I'm going to go do that thing. That's going to be awesome." And your mom's like, "Don't even think about it. Like, I didn't even say anything. And she was just like, she just knows. And often Omni and I, when we hang out together and we're doing life, and sometimes when we go home or on the drive home, I say, what do you think about that, the situation? I said, oh, I never saw that. I never even thought about that. And she just sees it in a different way. And so I just want to look at some of that. So intuition. Again, mothers seem to have it, like in spades. They got lots of it. So three scriptures that support that kind of thinking is in Matthew chapter 9. We see here, where does a mother get those kind of intuitions? And see, here in verse 4, it says, you know, Jesus, it says, knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? So often we see stories in Scripture, don't we, where Jesus just looked at people and he knew their heart. He knew what was going on inside here. So he begins to speak into it, even though they didn't even open their mouth. There's this intuition that God has. In Matthew chapter 12, so just over a couple pages, we would say, I mean, there's just so many. I had to just pick a few here. Verse 25, it says, Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, isn't that so often as you and I are interacting with ourselves, we're thinking certain things, and all of a sudden we pick up the word of God and we're like, oh my gosh, it just spoke into what I was just thinking. Or you phone up a good friend, or you go to church, right? You go, the Daily Bread said this, my morning devotion said that, I went to church and we sang that song, and I open up, and we're saying all the same thing because God's speaking to you. And if you see it in two and three times, man, you better be listening. Because God's like, hello, hello, hello. Are you listening, right? And so often we see God knows those things. And so in Luke chapter 6 as well, we pick up just a quick story. I'm jumping around. I apologize. I don't usually like doing this. I usually like to read the whole story. But just to make a point here, verse 8, it says, Jesus knew what they were thinking. Again, so often we see that since God already knows what we're thinking, he wants us to talk to him, what's really going on inside. Because so often I can look at you and you can look at me. You don't really know what's going on. I could be up here and I could just be completely a mess. I could be completely stressed out and worried and all that kind of stuff. But you don't know because I can really put on a face and dress up nice and shave and look like I'm okay. But really, what's going on inside? God wants to know that. He wants you to be open with him. So let's be open with him as we do that. As you would talk to your mom. So in life, I don't know your personal experience. There's a story here that was shared with me years ago, and I thought it just made so much sense. In Whitehorse, we would do a prison ministry. I know in Terrace, we only have the overnight cells, and they usually get shipped off to Prince George. In Whitehorse, though, there's actually a 300-bed prison. So if you get convicted of less than 5 years, you would stay in Whitehorse. If you're plus 5 years or more, they're going to ship you off to Prince George or somewhere. So we do prison ministry. And as we were learning and training and you know, trying to connect with inmates, there was this story that they shared about on Father's Day, they said, hey, let's get all the inmates cards, and then they can write to their father and just tell them what they think about them at Father's Day. No one took a Father's Day card. No one wanted to write to their dad. Whether it was the dad's fault or not, there's just this, Mother's Day comes around. Everybody took a card. Do you see that difference? About how much there's just this connection. Why? Because so often, it's not a negative towards men, it's different characteristics. That's why a family unit works so well together. You know, men are good, and so my boys get hurt. I'm like, oh, that's, you know, I'm so sorry. You know, especially if my boys are stuck at a boy, and just walk it off, you know. And they go to the mother, oh my gosh, there's just this compassion. It's different, and there's nothing wrong with the difference. It's not negative, but God has both characteristics. He's father, and he has mother characteristics in a sense. And so when we come to that realization, it's something that it's real, right? You know, you want to write a card. You want to say something nice to mom. Not that, don't be bad to them on Father's Day. Just to clarify that, you know. We already went through that, but that's okay. Second one, so intuition, mothers are compassionate. And so I want to read a whole story. loved reading the stories. I want to get the whole story. So we're going to go back to 1 Kings, Old Testament. We've been a lot of time in the New Testament. Let's go back there. 1 Kings chapter 3. Well, just bear with me. I want to read the whole story. I'll try and, you know, elaborate on it as we go. It's a lot of fun. 1 Kings chapter 3, it says, "Now, two prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. One of them said, 'My lord, this woman and I live in the same house. I had a baby while she was there with me. The third day after my child was born, this woman also had a baby. We were alone and there was no one in the house but the two of us. During the night, this woman's son died, and because she laid on him," like, oh, that's a bad deal. Oh, man, I can't imagine the pain of that. "So she got up in the middle of the night and took my son from my side, whom I, your servant, was asleep, while I was asleep, but she put him by her breast and put the dead son by my breast. The next morning I got up to nurse my son and he was dead. But when I looked at him closely in the morning light, I saw that it wasn't my son." I mean, you know, you don't leave the hospital with the wrong kid. You know, you just sense it. You see it. You know, you don't need to, you know, to do a DNA test. You know who's your boy. "The other woman said, 'No, the living son is my son and the dead one's yours.' But the first one insisted, 'No, the dead one's yours and the living one is mine.' And so they argued before the king. The king said, 'This one says, my son is alive and your son is dead. Well, the other says, no, your son is dead and mine is alive.' Then the king said, 'Bring me a sword.'" Oh man, this is not going to go good. "So they brought a sword to the king. He gave them an order: 'Cut the living child into two pieces and give one half to one and one half to the other.' The woman whose son was alive, filled with compassion," in Jesus' name, oh, thank you, God, "'for her son, and said to the king, 'Please, my lord, give the living child, don't kill him,' to the other lady. But the other one said, 'Neither I nor you shall have him. Cut him in two.'" Look at the uncompassion there. There's unforgiveness. "And the king gave this ruling: 'Give the living baby to the first woman. Don't kill him. She is definitely the mother, because she is the one that's filled with compassion.'" Wow. Isn't that just a powerful story? You know, I know that these ladies weren't living very godly. I understand that. But there's a purpose to that story. It's here to make a point, is that we care so much. Moms care so much. They want to see the best. They're not willing to just throw the towel in, like, oh, whatever, you know. Just, you know, whatever happens, just happens. No, there's just so much compassion that even if they were not able to have fellowship with their kid anymore, knowing that they were in a safe place was more important. Like, wow, what a thought, eh? Just to be able to let the kid go so that it would be better off and that it would still be alive, at least, in Jesus' name. Let's go back to the New Testament. Let's get into Matthew. And so we're looking for compassion. We're seeing these traits that God has in the stories that we see. So Matthew chapter 23, verse 37, it says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who were sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wing, but you are not willing." Jesus uses, you know, these are farmers. They understood animals of the day. He uses a hen, not a rooster, so we're using the female animal, as she would protect. You know, lots of times the father in the animal kingdom is like, you know, he does his part and then he's gone. And so often we would see wild animals, actually, this is such a true story. A lot of animals are set up this way that the father will come back and he'll even sometimes try and eat the kids. And the mother, with such compassion, will almost sacrifice her sometimes, knowing that the male is going to just tune her up and tune her out, and there might be a bloody fest, and she might even lose her life, but she'll do it because she wants to protect her kids. Do you see the difference of that? And so we see it so clearly here in Scripture. And Jesus is just so, you know, God's so, you know, just wise in the way he writes that so that we can understand that. Let's go off on another story here. Luke chapter 7. Man, I had to cut out like a jillion scriptures because there's just full of it. And so we're just having fun with the ones that kind of I thought were resonating. So Luke chapter 7, jumping in verse 12. I love hearing your guys' pages turning. That's a brilliant noise. God loves that noise, just so you know. Bring your Bibles. You don't have one. There's a whole bunch right here. There's some in your chair. Just borrow it. Don't steal it. Just say it's for the Lord's work, you know, just like he borrowed donkeys and sheep and that kind of stuff. Luke chapter 7, verse 12, it says, as he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw that situation, his heart went out to her and said, don't cry. Do you see the compassion there in our Lord Jesus Christ in that moment? A mother lost a husband, lost her only son. Like, she's in trouble. Like, she's financially in trouble now. She's physically, she's emotionally in trouble. And Jesus looks at her and has compassion and says, don't cry. Then he went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. And he said, dead man, I say to you, get up. And the dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother because he cares about mothers. And he doesn't want her to be left alone. I want to finish that story in just a second. I want to explain what happened there in that story and why it was so important. But when I grew up in Prince Rupert, there was wind. You know, in those big windy days, those are the days you don't go fishing, right? You're like, that's, we don't go fishing that day. But there were certain days when it was like a windstorm in there, and the windows would seriously shake on the house. And I looked outside, and I'm thinking, cool, you're just a kid, right? And I'd get on my BMX, we lived on a hill, Ambrose, and there it went down. And I would sit at the bottom of the hill, and the wind would, I wouldn't pedal, the wind would blow me right up the hill. I thought, this is awesome. Because usually you go down the hill, you're like, oh yeah. And then you have to go up the hill. You're like, oh my gosh, my legs, you know, you're just exhausted. But I was just going right up the hill. There's like branches, trees falling over, and I'm just having the time of my life. My mom looks out the window, what are you, crazy? Get in the house. You know, you got to be safe because there's compassion. I'm sure my dad was probably like, that's awesome. You know, as guys would. Yeah, son, do it. I did that. You know, you got a helmet. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. We got a hospital for a reason, right? But the mom is like compassionate. Don't do it. Don't do it. You know, get in the house. Be safe because just like Jesus, he has characteristics that are compassionate. Let's finish that kind of thought here, though. Let me kind of just unwrap it. So in verse 13, when the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her. I mean, we don't understand the wording of that in English because it's so weak. But the movement of the heart and the compassion is just, you can't put words to it. Don't cry, he says. See, again, the widow's situation was so serious. Again, she had lost her husband, we read, lost her only son that was dead in the casket. That means all of her support is dead, is in the casket. Those mourners that were going to cry with her for a season of time, they're going to go home one day. It says here in my little study Bible, it says she'd be penniless. This Bible's outdated. She'd be nickel-less. I can't even use the word penny because it doesn't make sense to us in our generation. So this poor woman was going to be nickel-less. That sounds weird, actually. When you say that, I like Nicholas is a good name, but anyways, so no nickels, let's say it like that. So no nickels moving forward. Unless a relative came in and took her in, like her future was done, she was done. Like swindlers might pick her up and sell her off. She might just be sitting at temples just begging for food. Like there's no government handout at that point. Like you, I mean, it's not good. And Jesus knew that. He didn't just look at the situation and go, oh, that's too bad. You know, he looked at the whole situation from beginning to end. He goes, that grieves my heart because I have compassion. So from your story, from beginning to end, he looks at you, sees the whole thing, and he knows that there'll be struggles along the way, whether you've experienced them today or you're going to experience them in the future. And he looks at that and he goes, I have compassion for that. And I want to speak life into that. Do you see that thing that was dead in the casket? That was the future, the safety, it was dead. And it came back to life in Jesus' name. So whatever you are facing, and you feel like it's dead, there's no hope, this is going to the grave, Jesus will speak life into that, and it will come alive. Like, oh, come on. Oh, yeah, I get excited over the word of God. Come on. Mothers are nurturing. Let's go on the third and final thought here. It's amazing that we can see nurturing traits, even in small girls. You know, when they come out, there's certain traits that boys and girls just naturally have. You don't have to download anything. They are that way. They look at their mom, like, wow. You know, just new to the world. And like, the mom's changing the little brother's diaper, cool. Then they grab their doll and they're like, ooh, let's put a diaper on this doll, because that's what moms do, so this is just a natural trait, right? A boy wouldn't do that. He'd look at the doll, the stupid doll, you know, kick it and snap its head off, and watch this cool thing, right? Set it on fire. I'm not going to put a diaper on it. Are you crazy? No, I'm just joking, but, you know, there's just a different compassion level, right? And so we won't get too crazy, but, you know, moms, like, feed the baby, right? And then, you know, the little girls go, cool, let's take my little stuffy and, like, lift up the shirt and put the stuffy, you know, like, we're going to feed this baby, right? There's just something different. There's something nurturing about that. There's this characteristic that comes, and they're just downloaded already like that. So we're going to pick up a quick story here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. You're wrestling this morning. Good, good, good. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. Says, but we were gentle among you. Who's the writer of 1 Thessalonians? Paul. We were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. Is Paul a male or female? Come on. And he's writing like we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her children. How can he even say that? He's not that way. But the Holy Spirit living inside of him, God living inside of him, is compassionate and nurturing and loving like a mother. They can have those traits as well when we've got the Holy Spirit inside of us. That's just a fun thought, isn't it? So Paul here is just trying to encourage them to, like a mother, just love on the people. You know, in ministry, so I was in retail, so I graduated in, I won't even tell you when, that was a long time ago. We were just having fun this morning about it, 1996. The song that was written was 1998, and I thought, holy man, I'm feeling old here. 10 years of retail, 18 years of pastoring. If I've learned, I hope I've learned more than just this, but anyways, at least one thing, you know, throughout my time is to be more nurturing and less harsh. And if ever at any point, I know we've been close together, hanging out together, maybe 5 years for some of us just a couple years. If there's ever been a time where I was too harsh, I apologize for that. Because I want to be compassionate and nurturing. Because I think there's so much power in that. So often we would read, and even Billy Graham himself said this in his later years. He's written a book about it. He said, you know, I would be more loving than correcting. Because I'm called to nurture and to love and to be compassionate for one another. God's the judge. I don't need to be doing that. And I just thought, wow, isn't that powerful? So when you listen to somebody that's run a good race near the end and they say things like that, man, we better cone into that. We better be listening. And so let's be full of compassion and grace and nurture one another. We all have stuff. I don't need to be reminded. Please be gentle. I don't need to be reminded of my stuff. I do have lots of it too. I'm with you. We're all in the same boat. But let's love each other through that process. Let's support each other through that process. Because of scriptures like this. One of thousands, but we'll pick out this one today. Matthew chapter 12, verse 20, it says this. It says, a bruised reed will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out till he leads justice to victory. A bruised reed he will not break. If you've ever had, and this is a great example, it was just funny, this happened this morning. These things are so hardy, though. They just won't die, you know. If this was a rose and you started doing stuff like that, breaking off stems and different things of it, it's just, you're dead. So many flowers you get in a bouquet of flower, right? Oh, it's so nice. And the next day, it's like, what happened to that flower, right? Because maybe something happened. Maybe something got broken, or maybe it wasn't cut right, so the water couldn't get the nutrients it needed. And God is saying, I want you to nurture that thing back to life. So if it's dead, like we read about earlier, I want you to nurture it so it will become alive again. That's what we do. We don't say, you dumb flower, what's wrong with you? Get over it. You know, like, we don't do that to the poor thing. You know, what we're reading about is nurturing it, loving it back together. We do family night on Friday nights. Oh, I love Friday nights because pizza. I think I'm still feeling the after effects of the pizza. But anyway, it's good. Eat the whole pizza. Watch some movies. Our kids usually pick different movies. Not that we're getting older. We don't usually watch some of those old classics anymore. But there was Joseph, King of Dreams. It's a cartoon. It's a story about Joseph in the Old Testament, about his journey in life. And so I love seeing it visually. Sometimes, you know, you read, you're like, I don't really understand that. And you see it kind of on the TV. It kind of just starts making things connect. And so Joseph is in prison at some point in the movie, and he's just there, and there's this little weed, it looks like. And he just starts nurturing this weed. He's like, well, I'm stuck here. You know, he's got one day, 2 day, you know, just, oh my gosh, there's just a whole wall of days. And so what do you do in there? And he's you know, speaking to the other inmates and just kind of trying to point out some stuff that's going on in their lives. And there's just this little weed. And he just starts nurturing it. There's one little crack of light that comes down. And this little weed, by the end of the movie, the story, it's a tree. It starts producing fruit. And it's in prison. And so again, so often, even in our difficulties, in our challenges, in the things that we face that are hard, like we face hard things. Don't joke it. You know, we don't joke around about that stuff. It's real. But in the midst of that, there can still be life. We can still nurture each other and help each other and be compassionate towards each other to health. Don't we want to be healthy? Don't we want to be whole? Don't we want to be like that kind of a story? I want to pray with you now. I just want to spend a few moments and just pray for the moms, the women, the ladies, the girls, the kids in the room. I don't know what category you fall under. Because I believe in the power of the Word of God, and I hope you've connected with it in some capacity today. I also believe in the power of prayer. And I want to share a personal story with you. Omni and I, in Whitehorse, we had Moses, so, you know, great, we got a son. And then we honestly weren't sure. We were just like, we'll have another kid at some point. There's no rush. We have lots of kids. So we went to a conference at our church. We brought in some evangelists, some guest speakers. And so Omni and I are at the back. We're just, you know, just young and love, having a great time. You know, we got a kid. Like, life's, you know, great. And this one of the guest evangelists came down and spoke to us. And I wasn't sure if he's right or wrong. That doesn't matter. I didn't correct him. Doesn't matter. He just said to me, he said, are you guys having a hard time having kids? And honestly, I was like, I don't think so. We're like, we got a son right here, you know? And so I don't know for sure, but between Moses and my son Emmanuel right here, there's a 3-year gap. After Emmanuel, you know, Celeste came 2 years. After Celeste, Vivian came 2 years. And so maybe there was something. I don't know for sure. So I didn't want to tell this kid, no, we're fine. We can have kids, no problem. So he prayed for us, and so I don't know. I'm not for sure. But we went to the church that we moved from in North Vancouver. There was a Bible study and some things were happening and this poor family was spending money and they just couldn't have a kid. And they went to the Bible study and they just were broken. And they confessed and they said, we're just in tears. Just the comfort in that Bible study. Like you would be open to tell your mother these things. Like, Mom, we can't have a baby. I don't know what's going on. And so they felt comfortable to tell this Bible study. They just laid hands on them. And then 9 months later, they had a kid. Because there's power in confession. There's power in prayer. There's power in agreement. There's power in all those kind of things. So I want to pray for, again, this morning, the moms, ladies, women, whatever you want to say this morning. So like we did with the flowers, would you just please stand up? I'd just love to pray with you just for a moment. All the ladies, all the the moms and all those kind of good things. And so if you're online, you're sitting at home on the couch, you can stand up too if you want. And I'd just love to just pray over you for a moment. So let's just close our eyes, gentlemen, and just this morning, we thank you for our moms. We cherish them and we love them. We honor them this morning. And Father, those are great. These are our earthly words. But Lord, we need a touch from heaven. These moms need to know how you feel about them. And I thank you that you can use husbands, you can use sons and daughters to speak life, speak something positive to them. But I pray, oh God, in Jesus' name, that they would hear from you today. They would hear from you right now. I know there's going to be hard to pray this, but I know a lot of us have lost our moms. And today is an emotional day. And God, as we read in your word, your compassion for those moments. And God, you want to nurture us right now. You want to just comfort us right now. So thank you for doing that. For anyone that needs that this morning, whether it's a loss of mom physically or it's just a loss of relationship, God. Thank you for meeting that need this morning. For those that, you know, we even shared a story, Omley and I and some other friends of ours, just wanting to be a mom. Just feels like women are just designed that way. And when it doesn't happen, sometimes there's some pain around that. And so, Father, would you, first of all, comfort that pain? And secondly, God, we've seen in your word, you bring life from death and brokenness. We've experienced it firsthand. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, would you do something similar to somebody here this morning if they need that? And for those of us that have kids that maybe have, we've lost a son or daughter. Oh, man. Or our kids have run away and they don't want relationship with us anymore. Father, would you comfort that emotion as well this morning? For those young women that are considering, like, I want to get married, I want to have a family and all that kind of stuff, I pray, oh God, that you would deposit great virtue into them right now of modesty and integrity and purity and all those kind of things that are desirable, that you desire inside of us. God, would you just put that inside of these young women right now this morning? And Father, at the end of all this, we just give you the glory. God, you are the one that's worthy of all praise this morning. We love you and we cherish you. We thank you for the word of God. In Jesus' precious name, amen.